Yes, thank you. First of all, I would like to thank you, everybody, for taking your time to follow this conference call on full year 2017 results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Group Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and by Mr. Simone Montanari, Piaggio Group Chief Financial Officer. During the conference call, we'll use the presentation you can download from Piaggio Group website. And before going ahead, as usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risk that can cause actual results to be materially different. And now I'm glad to hand over the conference call to Mr. Simone Montanari.
Hello everyone, and thanks for attending our call. I'm glad to start with some slides that were added to our user presentation, namely page 3 and 4, to summarize the great challenge and efforts and results made by the company in our path towards improvement of operational and financial performance. 2017 has been an outstanding year at all levels. At the volume level, we reached two key milestones in our journey. The first one is Vespa, that has been by far the most important vehicle on our product lineup and that grew more than 10% in this year, reaching 182,000 units, benefiting from positive results in all key reference markets, the Western countries, Asia and India. In India two-wheeler, we grew by 71%, nearly 70,000 units, paving the way to what we think may be a sustainable growth in the world's biggest and fastest growing scooter market. Moreover, in terms of margins, Piaggio posted a sound growth in all operating metrics, reaching a peak at EBITDA level. In particular, the gross margin has been the highest since 2010, at 30.6%, the EBITDA margin has been the all-time high at 14.3%, growing 13% compared to last year at 192 million. Even more importantly, we achieved very positive results at cash generation level, which has been our key priority. We achieved the best result to date, both in terms of cash flow and a reduction of net debt, that coupled with the EBITDA generation pushed the leverage down to 2.3 against the 2.9 of 2016. That has been the best improvement to date. We can move to page 4 to have also a medium-term picture on these results. As you can see, since 2013, when I remind you the European two-wheeler market demand reached its lowest peak, the group steadily improved all key financial metrics, proving the ability to manage the cost base while increasing efficiency and enhancing our product mix. In 2017, we achieved the mentioned result record with European two-wheeler volume still 55% below 2007 level. And this gives you a sense of the magnitude of the result uplift achievable even with the market demand went down. In details to be mentioned, from 2013, the revenues grew from 1.2 up to 1.345 million. Thanks to this 130 million increase in revenues, together with the gross margin improvement and the OPEX management, the EBITDA grew of 45 million, increasing from 147 up to 192, or in terms of ratio to net sales, from 12.1 up to 14.3%, and equally importantly, together with the increase in EBITDA, came the net debt reduction from 427 down to 447, through a peak of nearly 500 million, with the leverage of debt to EBITDA decreasing from 3.3 to the current 2.3. Having said that, let's move now to page 5 to start looking in details on our 2017 performance, starting from the main market trends in the year. We ended 2017 with mixed but overall improving dynamics. Europe ending flat after a negative start to the year. Two-wheel in Asia-Pacific and in India posting a solid growth, and light commercial vehicles, eventually in India, strongly rebounding in Q4. More in details, in Europe, after a start on the back foot, the demand trend shifted to positive from Q4 and Q4. As highlighted in our prior calls, the positive trend stemmed from the 50cc vehicles, which ended up the year by 24%, boosted by volume in Q4. To be mentioned that this strong volume uplift has been driven by the upcoming shifts from the Euro 2 to the Euro 4 engines, and therefore the need to zero the stock of vehicles with the Euro 2 engines. Conversely, all vehicles above 50cc ended down on a challenging comparison base, as last year this segment sales had been boosted by the introduction of the Euro 4 engines. Looking at the trend by country, I would like to highlight the performance of France, the biggest European two-wheeler market, which strongly improved across the year, leading to the country to be the best performer in Europe, along with the Netherlands and Italy. Also, Italy ended slightly up, reaching the third consecutive year of slight improvement. All in all, the European market kept recovering, even if at a slower pace than expected. U.S. remained on a different path, with demand edging down by 7% in scooters and 3% in motorbikes. Asia-Pacific ended another year progressing, but moreover, and more important for the group, in Indian light commercial vehicle market, the negative effect of demonetization eventually vanished in Q3. Leaving room for a strong rebound in Q4, plus 50% in three-wheeler and 44% in four-wheeler, which led to the total demand of three-wheelers in line with prior year, full year 2017 compared to 2016. In addition, always focusing on India, the two-wheeler kept on posting a strong growth, with scooter demand up double digits, confirming India to be the fastest growing and biggest market in the world for scooters. After this quick review of the main market trends, let's move now to page 6 to have an in-depth analysis of Piaggio Group trend and the results by business. Starting from volumes, we ended Q4 with overall volumes progressing by 4.7%. That led to an increase total year at 3.9% compared to 2016. These positive results came from different dynamics, with two-wheelers volumes ending up by 9% and light commercial vehicles ending down by 6%, after taking an upward in Q4 thanks to India. Revenues followed this different trend, ending up 4% in two-wheelers and down 1% in light commercial vehicles. Overall, revenues grew by 2.2% at the group level, or 2.6% excluding Forex contribution. More in detail, looking at two-wheeler business, the biggest delta in volumes came from India, whose performance had been fueled by the Aprilia SR sales in H1 and from the positive performance of Vespa in H2, thus confirming the brand potential Vespa in this country. Vespa sales drove also the average price uptick in Q4 in India. Two-wheeler Western countries ended up by 3% both in volumes and revenues, despite unsupported market trend and a slowdown in Q4, mainly linked to our seasonal management of the dealer stock in Europe. As mentioned in prior calls, main driver of growth have been the 50cc vehicles, where our volumes grew double digits, outstripping market trend. To give you more granularity in terms of country mix, I can add that in Europe, the main contribution to the revenue growth came from Italy, the Netherlands, Austria, and Germany. In Asia, the outstanding performance of Thailand, when we grew 7 plus 50%, and China, when we grew plus 74%, had been unable to fully compensate for the weakness of Vietnam, which ended down 15% in volumes and revenues. Overall, excluding Forex, Asia went down by 2.7% compared to last year in revenues at 4% in units. Noteworthy, despite the overall negative trend, our average selling price in Asia slightly up versus previous year at constant forex, also reflecting the improved product mix, again, thanks to Vespa. Looking at commercial vehicles, we can see that the performance improved steadily in the second half of the year. Revenues, after halting their slide in Q3, grew 12% in Q4, despite adverse forex, on the back of the very good performance both in EMEA and in India, plus 13% in Q4, which led the overall full-year revenues broadly in line with prior year. As mentioned before, in India, in Q4, we started benefiting from the end of the negative effect of demonetization and the following strong market recovery. Additionally, we posted a strong performance in export, which grew around 60% in the second half, and the improvement of domestic sales together with acceleration of export is extremely positive looking forward also for the year to come. Let's move now to page 7 to look at the breakdown of the group performance by product. Overall, we grew both in scooters and bikes, both with revenues up around 4%. In scooters, I would like to highlight again the performance of Vespa that confirmed once more the strong brand appeal. Vespa volume grew in all regions. Notably, in Western countries, Vespa revenues went up double digits, both in 50 and over 50 cc segments, also benefiting from the positive price effect. Among other scooters, I would like to highlight the healthy performance of Beverly and Liberty, both up double digits, a growing market demand trend, and in addition to be mentioned, Aprilia brand scooter performance, growing more than 20%, also thanks to the contribution on the India market results, thus revamping the brand strength. Also in bikes, Aprilia confirmed its positive momentum with sound volume and revenue increase on some key products, namely Tuono, Arras V4, and Dorso Duro, and posting the best performance since 2012. In addition, also to be mentioned, the brand scooter performance of Aprilia growing 10% to 20% thanks to the contribution of the Indian market, while no need to further comment on the light commercial vehicle performance, namely India in Q4, that has been already discussed in the previous slide. Moving to page 8, we can look at the EBITDA. As said before, we achieved a record EBITDA results primarily on the back of the outstanding performance at gross margin level. Notably, the cash gross margin grew to 30.6%, that means 1% more against prior year, leading to a 22 million of positive effect compared to last year in our P&L. As you can see in the slide, this 22 million increase is split between the net sales improvement, 9.5, that is the additional gross margin coming from the additional net sales, and the percentage gross margin improvement, 11.7 million, that is the additional gross margin coming from the improvement of the 1% point of gross margin. This letter testifies our ability to deliver product efficiency through pricing and product cost management. Lastly, a great effort has been done to keep operating expenses below prior year level, I'm talking about cash operating expenses, despite higher marketing expenditures and despite a higher top line, in order to further improve the total productivity at all levels. Going to slide 9, we can look at the net income bridge, going from 14 million of 2016 up to 20 in 2017, or from 1.1% on net sales up to 1.5. This has been driven by the improvement in the EBITDA of 22 million, seen before, higher D&A linked to the increase of the amortization of intangible assets coming from past year investment, a decrease in financial expenses, 3.1 lower than last year, mainly coming from lower cost of funding together with a lower average net debt throughout the year, and a step up of the tax rate, namely 50% in 2017 compared to the 45% in 2016, that has been also a result of the write-down of U.S. deferred tax assets to comply with the recent U.S. tax reform in December 2017 that has been accounted for around €3.1 million in our taxes. Excluding this negative effect, €3.1 million, the tax rate would have been around 43%, and notably the net result would have been €3 million higher. That means from 20 adjusted to €23 million, or 1.7% of net sales. We can move now to slide 10, which summarizes the figures just discussed and gives a full picture of the full P&L 2017 compared to the 2016 one, together with an estimate of the Forex contribution on the right side of the slide. In details, net sales from 13.13 of 2016 to up to 13.42 in 2017, 2.2% or 2.6% excluding the Forex negative effect, mainly linked to US dollar and Vietnamese dong devaluation. The gross margin from up from 29.6% to 30.6%, that means 1 percentage point higher than last year. The EBITDA margin from 13% up to 14.3%. The D&A that grew from 110 million up to 120 million. And the operating result that grew from the 61 of 2016 up to 72.3 in 2017. Or 0.7 percentage point. The tax charge that has been €20 million against 11.5 last year. I remember this €20 million includes €3.1 million of extra charge coming from the US DTA write-off, and the net income from 14 up to €20 million. Furthermore, on the bottom slide part of the slide, you can appreciate the strong performance at cash flow level. That has been €44 million in the 12 months of 2017 compared to the 7.2 of 2016, means €37 million more compared to 2016. That led the net debt €44 million below December 2016 at €447 million. On the next page, we can have a better look on the evolution of net debt. In particular, in page 11, you can see the net financial position evolution, who benefited from the improvement in all key drivers. In details, the operating cash flow has been higher than last year, 135 compared to 123, on the back of the higher gross margin coupled with the flat operating expenses. Working capital positive contribution has been slightly higher than last year, around €10 million, mainly benefiting from lower absorption of VAT receivable. Capital expenditure at €87 million has been lower than prior year, also thanks to a favorable comparison base, considering that 2016 had been affected by the upfront investment for the completion of the new pending facility in Europe, and the change in equity that led to a lower cash absorption, mainly benefiting from zero buyback compared to the €6 million that were spent in 2016. As a result, we generated €44 million of cash compared to the €7 million of cash of last year. That has been the best performance to date, and which pushed the net debt at €447 million and the leverage down to 2.3 compared to the 2.6 of last year.
Thank you. Now we are ready for the Q&A session, so we are waiting for your question.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. The first question is from Monica Bosio of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. I would have a few ones. The first is this. Given that your equity story rely now on a recovery of the European scooter market, and given that we are at the end of February, I was wondering if you can give us some indications on, at least on Italy, as for two-wheel registrations, And if you can share with us, what do you expect in terms of volumes for the European scooter market? And the second question is on the current consensus. It's my usual questions. Current consensus for 2018 is pointing to an EBITDA at 203 million. I was wondering if you see some potential upside on this level, given also the better trend in the GDP also in Italy. The third question is housekeeping questions. Can you give us some indication on the D&A for current year and on the potential impact of the patent box for current year? And the very last, if you can share with us some indication on the renewal of the product range and especially about the electric Vespa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ignacio, for your question. I will start from the financial one, then I will hand it to the chairman in order to give some comments on our new product range. So starting from the recovery of the European market, we said that the European market in 2017 has been around flat with different paths between scooter and bikes. We do expect the 2018 growing compared to the 2017. We saw already this growing trend in January and February, in particular in Italy, when we had registration up to yesterday, the growth of the market was around 10% year to date, if I sum up January and February. The second question was on the consensus, in particular on the EBITDA level. You see that the consensus in this moment forecast 203 million for 2018. It's very, very early to comment on the consensus, but I think that, well, let's start commenting on the consensus. I think that it is something that we may achieve, the consensus EBITDA. You ask also if there is any upside. Yes, there is any upside, as always, starting from the year, but I'm feeling confident in this moment with the consensus forecast. As for D&A, compared to 2017, where D&A has been accounting for 120 million, in 2018, the decreasing in D&A trend will start, and my forecast for 2018 D&A total group level is around 115 million, so 5 million lower than 2017, around. Patent box, we are working on it. We already submitted our documentation and we are waiting for the answer that should come in the first half of 2018, but it's not in our hands. Ideally, the range of the positive impact we may have in our tax cost should be in the range of 3 million per year.
3 million?
Yes. As for the renewal for the product range, I will hand it to the chairman to give you some color.
Thank you.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So,
talking on the range of the products, it's better to be divided in the trade sector where Piaggio used to work. The first one is commercial vehicle. As you know, we signed an agreement with a Foton company at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And we work closer together to achieve a technology of the Porter that is a new four-wheeler for the last mile delivery that we believe to begin to produce at the middle of the next year. The new vehicle will be a vehicle with 1.5 cc at the petrol on Euro 6 and working also gas, CNG and LPG. This is an anticipation on the decision that will has to be announced yesterday, where the diesel engine will be limited, started from next year and the following year. This will be very important because this is a new Porter will be the same size than the actual one, but will be a better engine, better performance, better classic on the accessory and all the European version of this type of vehicle. The new one is regarding India, where we are on the way to change the actual engine diesel with a non-fuel, alternative fuel three-wheeler, started with as the date of Bharat 6, that is corresponding to our Euro 6. This mm-hmm. engine will be built completely inside to our factory in Baramatic, and will be launched to the market by the date of Bharat 6 execution date, that we believe will be by the end of 19, beginning of 20. This will be an engine of 400, and it be excluded the diesel application.
Mm-hmm.
So on this way, we believe to cover for the European market, for Indian market, and also for Africa market, with the complete range with the non-diesel engine. Completely new engine, completely new body, and completely new size of the transportation limits. Then we get for the end of this year, we confirm the Vespa Elettrica. As you know, this will be with two types. One full electric, and there will be an capacity of 60 kilometers on urban utilization, and hybrid version that will be in a combination of electrical engine and thermic engine that give an autonomy of, when you are in the electric side, of 30-40 kilometers on the urban utilization, and 100 plus 150 kilometers when you go on the range extender capacity. We expect this will be launched worldwide, and will be due on October of 18. Then we have the scooter and motor that will be, all the engine will be renewed in accordance to Euro 5 that will be at the end of next year, and we, all the, our engine will be in line with the European new regulation, and according also to the other United States and ASEAN regulation. In particular, for what means the bikes, as you remember, we have already Moto Guzzi V85 that is confirmed ready for the market in September of this year, mm-hmm. plus other two model of bikes that will be on the family of the VU7 that is predicted also best for the end of this year. Then we get the Aprilia 600 that is completely new model for Aprilia, that is three type of bikes, one sport version, the other one is we say the Tuono family, and then the other one is the Tuareg mm-hmm. family. That means that the application is a sport. One is for the big hard touring, and the other one is a middle sport that is naked. Then we are working, but this for the end of 19, of a new version of Moto Guzzi V100 that should be considered a completely new type of product that we have a new engine, a new type of engine, a new cylinder engine, and it's a range of 1,000 and 1,100.
Okay.
We believe that there's completely the family of scooter and bikes for 18 and 19.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Renato Gargiulo of Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question is on Vespa. We have seen good results this year, it seems, across all the main markets. I was wondering if there are what are the main drivers in terms of markets, if there are any markets which are performing better. My second question is on MP3. Can we assume this year any recovery or better contribution compared to 2007 following the slowdown, and was it just a matter of model switch? Then my third question is on price mix. What are your expectations for 2018 in terms of pricing? And then my very last question is on factoring. If you can give us an update about your level of factoring at year end. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gargiulo, for your question. Let's start from the first one. Vespa, well, we had different trends throughout the year, throughout the region. The lowest one was in Asia, when we grew from 1.2%. Then in the middle, we were Western countries, when we grew by 10% compared to last year, up to India, when we grew plus more than 30% compared to the previous year one. So basically, very, very positive in India, in the middle, in Western countries, almost flat in Asia, basically, Vietnam. The second one is MP3. The answer is nothing extraordinary compared to last year. That is, we will have our ordinary renewal of the range, including facelifting or restyling, but no new model for this year, 2018, on the MP3 range. We will have to wait for the year to come. The third question is on price mix expectation. Well, as I was commenting during the call, the market in 2018 will shift, we expect that will shift from 50cc up to the over 50cc, also considering that the 50cc has been impacted by the change of regulation from Euro 2 to Euro 4. The change in regulation will drive additional cost, and additional cost will drive to higher price. So basically, we expect that some part of the market will shift towards the over 50cc segment, and this will have a positive impact on our pricing. The last question was on factoring. I suppose it was factoring on receivable. The factoring on receivable at December 2017 has been exactly in line with the 2017 one, that is around 90 million euro. And so no growth despite the higher volume effect. In fact, if you notice, we had growth in Western countries, but we didn't have any growth on factoring on receivable. And so, basically, nothing exceptional on this side.
Okay, thank you. If I may, very, very quick follow-up. On taxation, we have seen the write-down of U.S. deferred tax assets. Can we assume any, even a small positive impact this year from the U.S. fiscal reform? Thank you.
Some, yes. For sure, we will not have any further write-down, and we will benefit something from the portion of profit that will come from the U.S. As you may know, in the U.S. we do have just a commercial company, so the profit is the profit of a commercial one, not for a manufacturing company. So it's lower, and being lower the profit, it will also lower the impact.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Niccolò Storer of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one is on gross margin. You achieved a really outstanding figure at year end 2017. So I was wondering if you could comment a little bit on the drivers behind this important result, and if you could also give us a split by main geographical areas. The second question is on volumes. If you could give us a little bit of flavor of, first of all, the split of Vespa sales between India and non-India. Secondly, the sales in Western country between EMEA and Americas. And third, the sales in Southeast Asia, 78,000 units, which is the weight of Vietnam and Indonesia. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Storer. We start with the gross margin. Yes, it has been quite an exceptional result, the 30.6 of this year. What's the reason behind these results? Basically, the fact that the improvement in production volumes and sold sales volume in Europe came with an improvement in the productivity of the whole European manufacturing plant, and this has been an help and support to support the gross margin. Second, we also benefited in the last part of the year from the recovery of India market. Third, on the other side, the gross margin in 2017 has been already affected by the increase in some raw material prices, increase that we think will continue also in 2018, but that we have been able to counterbalance through product cost efficiency and further productivity in 2017, and we expect that this will go on also in 2018. I do not expect that we will further improve beyond this 30.6, but I want to maintain this level of gross margin that has been quite exceptional. As for the volume and the speed of volume, if you may, I would hand over to a later call with Mr. Lupotto to give you all the details that you may need.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
The next question is from Martino De Ambrogi of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
The first question is on the R&D. What is the balance between the capitalized and amortized R&D for the full year 17, and what should we expect for this year based on the project in R&D that you have in mind? The second is on the guidance for EBITDA at 203 million. You mentioned to be confident with this level. I know it's difficult because there are many moving parts, but what is the underlying assumption in your mind in order to achieve such an EBITDA? And the third, just a reminder on the tax rate, what is the normalized tax rate going forward? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. De Ambrogi. So starting from R&D, the part of the R&D that has been capitalized in 2017 has been lower than the part that we had in D&A, also because we had definitely higher D&A compared to the CapEx in 2017. This trend will remain also in 2018, if this was the question. The EBITDA level, 203 million of the consensus, which may be the driver behind. First of all, the growth in the EBITDA in the top line that should come for sure in India and also in Western countries that will drive the EBITDA, even if at the same EBITDA margin. Secondly, I expect that in 2018 we will have, in terms of contribution to the 100% of our results, a higher contribution coming from India, Indian results, and thanks to this, the EBITDA at India level is higher than the average, and this will support the overall EBITDA at the group level. The third question, tax rate. I expect that the tax rate of 2018 should be in line with the 43% of ordinary tax rate. Also, this will be linked to the higher contribution of India, where, when we, in terms of tax rate, it is higher than the group one.
Okay, thank you. If I may just follow up on the R&D. In 2016, the balance was 7.5 million. If it's not possible to have the precise figure right now, we wait for the full disclosure, but just to have an idea if it's higher, lower, and what should we expect going forward.
I don't have the figures here with me. I will get in touch with you later.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Filippo Prini of Kepler. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Prini, your line is open.
Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yes, we do.
Yes, good afternoon. Sorry again. I've got two questions. The first one is on the CapEx. Could you give an indication for 2018, since I see that the level of 17, 85 million has been 10 million below the level of the year before? The last one, more long-term question. I remember that more or less 2 years ago, you gave us an update of your industrial plan with target 2019. If you can tell us which is your feeling, if you still believe that those targets are still reliable. Thank you.
Let's start from CapEx. In 2018, we expect to have CapEx in the range from 90 to 100 euro million, so basically starting from the 87 of last year. By the way, coming to the question of Mr. D'Ambrogi, this was the question inside the 87 million euro capex of this year, 26 million euro has been the one for R&D. As for guidance for 2019, we do not give any more guidance for 2019 and the year to come. So we stay in 2018 with the one that we already commented during this call. And by the way, I expect that the consensus in this moment is already reflecting our forecast.
Okay, thank you.
The last question is from Gabriele Gambarova of Banca Akros. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody, and thank you for taking my question. Two questions. One is on India. You recently introduced a couple of new scooters on the market, so I was wondering if you could share with me your expectation on their volume of sales. And then in the longer term, since you have 150,000 unit production capacity in India, I was wondering when we could assume you will saturate this capacity. The other very short question is on China. You mentioned the 74% growth in volumes. So I was wondering if anything has changed there, possibly what are the volumes in absolute terms and what is your strategy, basically, if anything changed there. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gambarova. So let's start from India to wheels. Obviously, we expect to grow, and we expect to grow also in 2018. Our expectations are below 100K for 2018, so I think something in the region of 90,000 units for the year to come. If something better will come, we will comment on this during the year. As for production capacity, we do not see the need to expand the production capacity in the short term. We are ready to do it. We also start to think about it in case, when, and if it will be always included in our ordinary capex level at a year level that will be around 100 million. So we will not expect to have further capital expenditure needs coming from this positive and lucky situation when we will find it. As for China, nothing changed. The high percentage of growth came from the fact that we started from a very small number, basically. We are still there, that is, the number of units that we sell in China is below 5,000 units a year. So I think that there is the opportunity to increase these units in 2018 and from the year to come. But in this moment, nothing changed in our approach or in our strategy, besides the fact that we will continue to expand our Motorplex dealer network footprint also in Asia, as we did last month in Hong Kong. And this will give a contribution at least to the sales and also to the brand awareness in the other.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think that this answer take the call to an end. So if you want to ask more questions, as usual, you can call me later this evening, tonight, and tomorrow. Thank you very much for attending our conference call. Bye.